welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, head blogger at ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. Hey, we got another big show coming for you this week. A couple big interviews. We kick things off with Greg Peterson, who heads up Avnet Technology Solutions' HP Solutions business. I don't need to tell you probably that it's interesting times at HP as we get down to just the a handful of days prior to the big split of HPE and HPI. Now, Avnet, unlike other distributors, has a little bit different view of the company, being primarily an enterprise partner, but still should be interesting to get Greg's view on how things are going and have been going in the HP business leading up to the split, as well as all the other things that's coming out of HP Enterprises and Avnet as well. From there, we'll be joined by G-Man Yip, CEO of BitTitan. G-Man runs a business that focuses on helping solution providers get the most out of their cloud practices. And what we're going to talk about is simply that. We're going to go through some of the mistakes and perhaps missteps that solution providers sometimes make in their own journey towards the cloud and towards selling cloud-based solutions, to see if we can't smooth out that process for solution providers as much as we can. Should be a good show, so let's get right into it. All right, I'm joined now by Greg Peterson, Vice President of the HP Solutions business within Avnet Technology Solutions. We're going to catch up a little bit on what's going on in the world of HP at Avnet. Greg, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
All right. Appreciate your taking the time. I guess to throw it open, let's just start with sort of a general overview. You know, what's new with the HP business at Avnet, and what's been going on over the last year or so? What are the highlights been?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it'd probably be easier to talk about what's not new. A lot of changes. And pretty much all of it positive. So, you know, I've been with Avnet for 21 years. So, and pretty much all of that time has been connected one way or another with the HP group, with the exception of up until about 4 months ago, I spent 2 years prior to that running our EMC VCE business. Mm-hmm. So I've been back now for a little less than 6 months, and it's really surprising to me how much had changed since I came back. And a lot of the same faces and obviously great technology, but just some big changes in the industry itself that I'd experienced over there, but also the way HP is approaching the business. So, you know, if you look at the last year, there's been a bunch of awards that we've had. You know, we've been their Partner One Growth Distributor of the Year in Canada. Mm-hmm. We've had we were actually selected to bring their HP Converge System 700 to market in the U.S., and that was actually this last December. Mm-hmm. So a lot of work around the education services. In fact, we were the 2015 HP Education Services Award. So a lot of great things. Also, big expansion for us in government. So we launched Avnet Government Solutions here a couple of years ago, and we expanded into a GSA schedule that included the HP solutions, and that happened just this last March. So lots of changes, most of it around Converged, most of it around transformation, but it's been a pretty exciting year.
All right. You touch on the Partner One Growth Distributor of the Year, or the Canadian Growth Distributor of the Year award. You know, what else is going on up here in the Canadian market for HP and Avnet?
You know, it's interesting because most of what I deal with and what I speak to is really North America. So when mm-hmm. I talk, I'm including U.S. and Canada, so pretty much everything we do is along the same lines. And it really goes along with the fact that Avnet's very focused on our global relationships with HP. Mm-hmm. And so, Canada is no exception there. I mentioned that we were the distributor, the growth distributor of the year. The other activity we do, whether it's around, you know, in the last year, we generated somewhere in the neighborhood of $275 million of marketing-influenced revenue from leads that we generate through our program. So that's the case, whether it's in the U.S. or Canada. We're not only HP's first distributor. We actually continue to be their largest enterprise distributor. We have about 24% market share, and Canada is a big part of that.
All right, great. What have you seen lately in terms of key issues, key drivers, and trends within the HP space? And, you know, how are you in the partner community adjusting to face those? What are you thinking about some of the things that that HP is up to these days?
Now, I think that that now more and more HP and our partners are looking at how end users are consuming technology. Mm-hmm. And it really has moved to it's all about solutions, and it's about third platform. So, you know, we've always had a strong background in a vertical or an industry play. You know, we invested in areas like healthcare and finance and education, utilities. These are areas where we saw the industry heading several years ago, and I don't think it's any different now. It's the industries are still important. It's just the method by which those industries are consuming the technology and how they purchase them, what they're looking at for them.
Sure. Talking about, you know, the latest and greatest of what's going on with HP, I would be remiss if I did not ask about the split. Of course, we are, as we chat, we're about a month into HP being two companies. In practice, if not in total legality, that happens, of course, later this fall. And you're coming from a little bit of a unique perspective in that Avnet is an enterprise partner for HP. But curious to get your thoughts on what you've seen and heard from the partner community and what you're feeling about the split of HP and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise thus far.
Sure, absolutely. And we are primarily an enterprise distributor. Mm-hmm. We do have a small piece of our business that will now be aligned with HP Inc.
Okay.
And it's that really resides in our OEM business. And we see that growing, by the way. So mm-hmm. there's great opportunity there. But yeah, for us, it was really our partners seem to be doing very well with it. We took the tact of let's educate and let's make sure that we are getting information out there on a regular basis. Let's make sure that we're over-communicating. And whether it was face-to-face meetings or the regular emails that we sent out or the webcasts or the con calls. And so we took the tact of let's over-communicate. HP's been outstanding through that whole process. The switchover went, as far as we could tell, fairly seamlessly. Systems came back up and are running great, and we saw very little disruption. I think that the HP leadership as a whole has handled it extremely well. I think this is a good statement. I did not myself receive one call from a partner who had a real issue. And to me, that's a big indicator, because if there were struggles with our partners, if there were concerns, if there were problems that were happening, they certainly would be dialing my number.
Yeah. Solution providers generally aren't shy about that kind of thing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Great. I appreciate that feedback. And it sort of jives with what I've been hearing in general from the channel community and from others. But hey, what are your thoughts on why Avnet for HP? What do you see as your differentiators in going to market with HP for your solution providers?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the basic principle of our business and the things that we try to never forget. And the reality is that we grow when our partners grow. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time listening to our partners and understanding how they're trying to go to market, how they're trying to grow their business, what niches are they playing in, what technologies are they trying to bring to their end users, and then try to align that with what the suppliers are doing. So HP has some very specific solutions they're bringing to market. How do we align those with what the partners are trying to accomplish with their end users?
Mm-hmm.
And so trying not to forget that, and then knowing there's a couple of key areas that we focus on, you know, transforming to a hybrid organization, helping them protect an organization's digital enterprise, looking at the data-driven organization, and enabling workplace productivity. I mean, you look at the third platform, you look at how they're consuming the technology. Those are four very key areas, and for us, we accomplish that. We focus on the cloud. We focus on big data and analytics, security, mobility, and we focus on the conversion data center solutions. You know, that's really all about supporting the efforts of our partners. we have some great IP. We have some great solutions that we can complement what our partners are doing. But most of it is really about understanding what the partners are trying to accomplish and filling in the spaces where they need our value.
All right. Your answer about areas of focus probably gives some of this away, but wanted to get your thoughts on the growth opportunities that you see. Where do you see growth in the HP portfolio going forward, and where do you see growth opportunities for yourselves and your solution providers in the HP business as you move forward into a new fiscal year at Avnet and the back half of 2015 and into 2016?
We still see big opportunities in our in the verticals or the industries where we've invested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's we still think those, you can call them a niche play, or again, go back, call them an industry play. We think that those are high growth areas. So, but from a technology standpoint, big data and analytics is obviously going to be huge moving forward. We see big opportunities overall in just in HP storage. The technology is outstanding. They're gaining market share in the right areas. There's great opportunity beyond where they're at now. I personally see big opportunity around our government business. Mm-hmm. And I realize that's a certain segment, doesn't apply to everybody, but that is a massive growth area for us and for our partners and for HP as well. So, and I think converged, HP has some good converged offering, and I think what they're going to be coming and doing next is going to be even better. And obviously that's a big play moving forward. If you can cross the chasm of the multiple routes to the cloud, which I think HP can, I think that's where we're going to see our biggest growth. The end users are in different levels of maturity with regards to getting to the cloud and comfort with getting to the cloud. What do they want where? And HP has the ability to cover that gamut. And I think that alone, they have an advantage in the marketplace.
All right, perfect. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's good speaking with you.
All right, we are joined now by G-Man Yip, CEO of BitTitan, to talk a little bit to us about the cloud transformation that many solution providers find themselves on. G-Man, thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Rob.
You're kind of uniquely positioned as someone who has seen many solution providers make this move and sort of help them through it. I guess before we get into it, can you give us kind of the 30-second introduction on BitTitan and the role you play for partners who may not be familiar with the company?
Absolutely. My name is G-Man Yip. I'm the CEO of BitTitan. BitTitan is what we call a cloud enablement provider, and we enable really three core areas of enablement for our providers and our channel. That's going to be selling, onboarding, and servicing. And this is all around new and existing cloud services. So if someone wants to get into cloud services or optimize their cloud services on how they handle it with their end users in this entire life cycle of these three pillars that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. then we're pretty much involved in those. And we started back, on the old BPOS days when cloud was just only email, and we've really grown to a large set, with thousands and thousands of partners in over 125 countries.
All right. Great. As I said, sort of uniquely qualified for having seen what partners have done well and perhaps where they've struggled in making this transition. And maybe let's start with that. Those partners who are still in the early days or just starting their own thought process around cloud and what it's going to mean to them. What are some of the mistakes you've seen from partners who are just starting out that have proven, challenges on the way to building a cloud practice?
Absolutely. I think the first thing, when you think about cloud is really around products and services. What products and services is that provider going to offer to their customers? And I know it sounds easy, but it's actually a complicated thing because some practices offer, five different types of email products, and really, you know, the customers that they're offering to don't understand which one's the best. And these people are the recommenders. So really, when I talk about products and services, is really what products and services are complementary to one another, that don't compete with one another, that the provider has done due diligence in figuring out what they want to offer. So I think that's the first thing, and that's the lowest hanging fruit thing that providers make their mistake. The next thing really comes down to is, you know, siloing on a single technology. So when we talk about products, a lot of providers focus on a single technology, and they're not branching out. So, for example, they might build only a Microsoft practice, and then they might even silo themselves to a single product like email only. And really what I'm saying is that Microsoft doesn't offer every single cloud service that a business is required, that wants, and is the lowest hanging fruit. And really they need to look at other things that are complementary to that, that Microsoft doesn't offer, or whatever software that they're currently offering is complementary to. The next thing is that people get too complicated too quickly. And what I mean about that is it goes back to the lowest hanging fruit. What are the cloud services that people are interested in, they understand, it's not a hard sell, and that they, when you tell them, like, email, you already know what email is, right? File storage or backup, you already know what that is. Mm-hmm. When you start getting to more complicated realms of, you know, CRM and things like that, you need to start beginning to think about segments, verticals, size of organizations, et cetera. So focus on the lowest hanging fruits first, figure out where your niche is and where you're getting penetration, then move into these, you know, more complicated products and scenarios that you can start doing.
And is it kind of a matter then of waiting until you've got that base and you feel like you're pretty well well established in those first few technologies in your existing clients, and then thinking, all right, what's going to be a complementary fit to that with your clients?
Exactly. And start with a small set. You don't have to solve world hunger. And that really moves to my next point, right, which is customer touch. I think a lot of these providers don't have enough customer touch. And when I say customer touch, is really the services part of a managed service provider, right? Mm-hmm. How often are you communicating with them? Are you providing services like help desk or reporting to them so that you can understand their business as it grows? Because this is a part of growing your business, right? When someone grows their business, they need other services. Mm-hmm. And now this is a time in which you can investigate what other services you should put into your portfolio to offer your customer base. And this is a part of growing. So even if I just offered email to begin with, if I maintain a customer touch with them around reporting around my email, servicing those their email services, et cetera, I'm going to have the opportunity to grow my product line, et cetera, because I'm going to understand what my customer need is. And this is not just growing my line, but understanding what my niche is, what I'm good at, et cetera. And this is how you grow your practice slowly.
A great point, because I think you know, part of the great part of selling cloud is that you can you know, sell a customer once and just keep the service going, keep the recurring revenue pouring in over time. The downside of that is what you suggest here, is that if you're not getting out in front of your customer, you don't know necessarily when needs are changing, when service might need an upgrade or a new look, or there might be new opportunities within that business the way you would if you were much more closely connected.
Exactly. And that leads to my last point, which I already touched on, which is mm-hmm. upsell and cross-sell, right? Because of the fact that I'm already in with email, if I have a customer touch with someone, they trust me. I'm the trusted advisor in which if the customer had any questions, hey, you know what? I'm sharing documents. What are the best ways to do it? They're going to approach you. As long as, and this is what I always tell providers, as long as you're providing mediocre service, and hopefully everyone provides 5-star service, right? As long as you provide mediocre service, your customers are going to come back to you if they have any questions or anything like that, right? It's not like, you know, even if when you think about us, how many people do we know? And it's a little different because we're in the IT world. But when you talk about a regular person who's not in the IT space, when you ask them and say, hey, how many people help you with your computer or with your IT needs? They're going to be able to name one person. Mm-hmm. They're not going to name you 10 IT providers. So, and this is why I always go back, and it's funny, but it's true, that if you provide mediocre service, they're going to come back and they're going to upsell themselves.
a nice place to be if you can get it.
Yeah, and really, to grow your practice, you're going to grow in one of two ways, right? You're either going to get net new customers, or you're going to upsell and cross-sell your existing customers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, getting net new customers is a lot harder than upselling and cross-selling your existing customer base. So, but you do want to focus on both. As you get new customers, you also want to constantly think about how you're going to upsell and cross-sell them with additional products, with those products that are the lowest hanging fruits, other additional services that would give me touch points that I could charge for that yield 60% or more margin for these people.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about folks who, you know, they've kind of conquered the 101 level cloud stuff and are moving on, you know, starting to see a nice recurring revenue base and getting the hang of selling and supporting those cloud services that they've selected. At that next level, what do you see as some of the challenges to growth for those folks and what can they do to avoid those pitfalls?
Absolutely. When you start getting into the top tier, mm-hmm. then it all comes down to is manufacturability of this stuff. Mm. Is how efficient are you in manufacturing this and pulling in volume? And that comes down to is set methodology, setting standards of products that you're going to use to service, et cetera, and constantly, you know, as a business owner myself, right, you're always constantly thinking of profitability, which is how do I decrease my operational costs and increase my volume? And that's really what you start to begin to focus on when you deal and you start moving up that stack and you're a seasoned veteran, et cetera.
All right. One of the challenges that I've heard from folks, both new and sort of grizzled veteran, is the challenge of, especially those coming from a traditional VAR type of business, those who went deep in managed services have solved some of this, but not to the extent that perhaps it needs to be, is the sales compensation issue when you're going from a culture of project-based big hits and then go find another one to the kind of trickle of recurring revenues. What have you seen solution providers do successfully to tackle that sales comp issue?
Absolutely. And the reason why there's an issue is because those traditional sales teams are used to high commissions with high dollar products. And now we're moving into a perpetuity pretty much, right? When you talk about recurring revenue, but unfortunately with perpetuity, it's a slow trickle of revenue coming in. And there is a plethora of things that people have implemented, right? First year or first several years of services. The other thing that I recommend that we've seen successful in a lot of organizations is that they actually bring up a new team. Mm. They actually bring in brand new teams that are focused on sales of cloud services.
Right.
So they start from the beginning. Because unfortunately, if you transition someone with a high compensation, let's say in the hundreds of thousands in commission, into the cloud realm, it's very difficult to compensate them with that type of salary. So you're really setting them up for failure.
Those first couple of years can be tough if that's the expectation, that's for sure.
But we have seen some success in not just trying to figure out commitments of the first year of services, et cetera. And that's also the other thing when you think about sort of selling, right? It depends on how they're selling their products. Are they selling it on a month-to-month basis? Or are they selling it on an annual basis, et cetera? Because it comes down to is what type of risk are you going to give, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard for an organization to justify month-to-month, but then pay 1 year of commissions up front rather than charging an annual basis and then giving them on those annual annuities instead.
Right. Okay. Makes sense to me. G-Man, that's kind of the territory I wanted to cover. Any parting thoughts to the channel community on the subject of building out that cloud practice? Certainly an important topic in this day and age.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, from a closing perspective, I think, you know, the cloud has changed dramatically over the years that we've seen. And it's a lot well-known now, right? It's a lot more well-known than it was 5 years ago. And there's a lot of resources that people can go through. And that includes, you know, going to who is going to provide you with those suite of services, because they're primed to help these MSPs or VARs and whatever channel it is, providers, to actually sell cloud services successfully. And that includes your distribution channel. Mm-hmm. That includes, you know, your providers who basically are kind of a distributor, except they only distribute you know, a core set of products, or even Microsoft itself, right? Because they rely heavily on that channel. So my final parting thoughts is really work with these people because they're incentivized to help build their practice. And if they're not building it, then they're not making money either.
All right. Brilliant. Appreciate your time. Thanks for taking it.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, there you have it. Another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast just about in the books. I'd like to thank Greg and G-Man for joining us today. And, of course, all of our sponsors for making this possible. Of course, that includes Avnet Technology Solutions. And I'd like to thank you for listening in, because there wouldn't be much point to me doing this if you weren't over there. We'll be back real soon with another edition of the podcast. It's getting busy in the fall travel season, and conferences are ramping up. Lots of news going around, so be sure to check out the site daily. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.